This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Wendy Fournier joins me live on the long line. She is president of the National Autism Association, and we're honored to welcome her back to the program. Wendy, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing great, Coy. Thanks so much for having me on with you again today.
Absolutely. Always look forward to talking to you. How was the summer at your house? Hope you all had a good time.
Summer at my house was amazing. My 9-year-old nonverbal daughter has just started to talk, so we have hit a major milestone here, and I could not be happier.
I have to be honest with you. I'm almost brought to tears by this news because it is so exciting, and for folks who don't have autism in the family and aren't really familiar with it, tell us a little bit of background. This is huge news that Allie is finally talking.
Right, it is huge. I mean, at 9 years old, she's just now beginning to speak. It's been such a struggle for all these years, and honestly, I was beginning to wonder if it was ever going to happen, if she was ever going to find her voice. But we just have kept on fighting and treating her, you know, biomedically, because, you know, she's sick. And really, once you figure out those pieces of the puzzle, what are the underlying medical issues that are going on with our kids that are causing them to display symptoms that we label as autism? When you treat those underlying medical issues, our kids can get better, they can recover, and there is so much hope. So for us, you know, to have our 9-year-old just start talking, that really is just the answer to our prayers. And I have to share that with everybody and say, do not give up. It is never too late.
That is so exciting. Gosh, good for her, too.
Yes.
You know, because we know, you and I both know, these kids work so hard. They work so hard.
Right.
And it is so oftentimes for them literally painful. This work to struggle to speak, to struggle to deal with noise, to struggle to get out of a car and go into a store. It is such a fight for them, and they worked so hard every day to do what so many of us just take for granted as just we don't even think about it.
Right.
And, you know, good for her.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great.
Very happy.
Absolutely. Wendy Fournier is my guest with the National Autism Association. Wendy, remind us again of the website, because y'all have a whole lot of information there that we want to recommend that folks can check out.
Sure, we do. You can reach us at nationalautism.org. That will take you to our main website, and also a link to our conference website, which is coming up in November, our National Autism Conference that will happen again in Fort Lauderdale this year. So lots of information on the website. In addition to that, an advocacy campaign that we're working on that I hope we can chat a little bit about as well.
We definitely will. Before we get to that, though, what are your thoughts on the H1N1 scare and the vaccines and this whole story? Because the more I read about it, the more I learn about it, the more alarmed and disgusted I am about what's happening in this country.
You know, I'm feeling the same way. I'm very confused. I'm very upset with the propaganda that's being spewed from the government and these health agencies that are really just using scare tactics to sell vaccines that are already, you know, bought and paid for. My concerns, obviously, are, first of all, by all accounts, the H1N1 virus is milder than what you typically see during a normal year of influenza. So why are we treating this like it is, you know, this horrible, life-threatening illness? So if it's milder, you know, what's the big deal? Why are they causing this global uproar about a mild virus? My other concern is they're not going to have time to do any safety testing on these vaccines. They're doing as much as they can in a few weeks, and they're just going to roll these things out. So long-term adverse effects, we will not know for months. These vaccines include neurotoxic ingredients, mercury and thimerosal that's used as a preservative. Also, I understand that the ingredient squalene is going to be used in some of these H1N1 vaccines, and that has been linked with horrible neurological disease, Gulf War syndrome. And no testing. They're just going to lay this on us, and I guess we're the guinea pigs.
And they're using Elmo to sell it to our kids.
Elmo to sell it, an interesting, I had read an announcement that came out from CDC yesterday discussing Elmo pushing H1N1 vaccine now. And it's really funny because something amazing happened overnight. The annual rate of deaths from the flu, which has been quoted at 36,000 for the last, you know, several years, 36,000 people a year will die from complications of the flu. Suddenly, overnight, that number went to 64,000. So somebody's playing with numbers in Atlanta.
Interesting. Atlanta, of course, the home of the CDC.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think's happening?
I think it's just they're aware that people are already questioning the safety of this vaccine, and a lot of even healthcare workers are saying there's no way I'm going to get that vaccine. So in my opinion, they're gearing up the fear factor, trying to get people really terrified and, you know, believing that they need a vaccine. The scariest thing to me, though, Coy, is that they're targeting pregnant women. You know, of course, they always threaten a shortage of flu vaccine every year just so you'll run out and get one before they run out. But this year, they're saying that, the first group they're going to target are pregnant women. And here's the problem. These vaccines have known neurotoxins in them. These vaccines and all flu vaccine are considered a Class C drug. It's classified by the FDA as Class C. And if you look that up, what you'll find is that Class C drugs have indicated reproductive problems or damage to fetuses during testing with lab animals, but no human studies have been done. So we absolutely do not know the effect on the fetus of the flu vaccine. And people like Nancy Snyderman on NBC are saying, oh, just go get the shot. It's perfectly safe. Go get the shot.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how they can get away with saying that, especially with it being a Class C drug. I don't understand how that's even legal.
When scientifically, the classification that it has, it is known to have adverse effects.
On animal studies, right.
Yeah.
But they haven't even tested it on human studies, so we have no idea what it's going to do to fetuses.
They'll be testing it this fall in schools, Wendy.
Yes, they will.
God.
Not on my kid.
Yeah. Well, that was my next question. Is, you know, with your knowledge and your background and your experience as a national leader dealing with these issues, do you recommend that people rush out and get their pregnant daughters and wives and kids injected with this stuff?
No, I would not inject my dog with this shot. I would not inject anybody that I love with this shot, because the truth is, it's for a virus that already we know is mild. You know, some people are going to die from the flu. That happens every year. But we do not have any idea what the adverse events are going to be from this vaccine. And if you're getting it in a school environment, or let's say you're getting it at Walmart, where do you go to report your adverse reactions? This is another concern. Because when you have a vaccine with a physician and you suffer an adverse reaction, you tell your doctor, and they file a report into a database that collects that information. And that's how we look long-term at what types of problems we may see with vaccines. How are we going to do that if we're getting these shots in schools or at Walmart? Are we going to go back to Walmart the next day and say, oh, you know, I'm having some kind of a horrible reaction to this vaccine?
Yeah.
To the guy in the layaway department? I mean, please. This is a medical procedure. Receiving a vaccine is a medical procedure. They need to take it a lot more seriously.
We are talking with Wendy Fournier. She is president of the National Autism Association, and we are honored to have her on the program. So, Wendy, what makes me so irate, and I've said this before, is that we have this major the pharmaceutical industry, this major industry, lobbies the government, lobbies legislators to pass laws and rules which require us to buy their product when it ain't safe and it's not tested and there's poison in it. I am so certain that one day history will look back and see how utterly medieval this is, and yet we're living this.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just right. Amazing. Wendy Fournier is my guest, and John is waiting patiently on line two. John, welcome to the program. You're on with Wendy Fournier. Go right ahead.
Hi, Coy. I'm a social worker with the Arc of the Piedmont and certainly work with people with autism. One thing I just want to point out was you were talking earlier about people that are nonverbal, and one thing that I found very helpful recently is the iPod Touch has come out now with applications for people with autism, and they're devices that they're augmentative communication devices, touch screens with symbols for people to talk, and this used to cost like $4,000 to $5,000, and now it's really just $300 and a $10 application. So it's become very affordable for families now.
You get it on your iPhone or your iPod Touch.
iPhone or an iTouch.
Just download the program.
They also have one that's an autism news reader. You push the button, and it will actually go out and search the web for all news on autism.
Oh,
and
good stuff.
There's all sorts of different websites that it searches.
Oh, that's great.
It brings it right to you. So there's an amazing amount of things with disabilities for the iPhone and the iTouch that have come out recently that are really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. And that's all independently done by folks who are just creating these programs. And
that's right. And they're multiplying day by day. It's really amazing how fast it's coming around.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. Thank you, John. Thanks for
sure.
pointing that out. I was not aware of that. And, of course, Wendy, I'm sure you're familiar with those little machines with the touch screen buttons and
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm a huge Mac fan. So if it's Mac, I have it. And I think probably the program that John's talking about is one that's called ProLoQuo2Go. It's an iPhone app that is basically a communication device. So you push buttons, and it has voice output, and it talks for you. And it's awesome. It works really well. It's incredibly affordable compared to the stuff that we've had typically in the last several years for people who are nonverbal. So great find, John. That's awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. We are talking with Wendy Fournier of the National Autism Association online at nationalautism.org. Wendy, fill us in on all the details about 090909. What is this?
Okay, well, all of us at the National Autism Association, we're just tired and beat down, and we're sick of asking the same questions, and we feel like we're not getting anywhere. What is our government doing for us? What are our health agencies doing for us and for our children? And we find ourselves in this constant state of asking how much longer. How much longer are we going to have to wait until our kids get what they need? How much longer are we going to have to wait to have vaccines that are free of poison? You know, how much longer do we have to wait for abuse to stop in schools? I mean, we're hearing horrible stories of abuse right now by, you know, people who are not trained, who are working with our children in the school systems, and kids are dying. Kids are wandering. There's hundreds and hundreds of issues that we have to think about every single day. And so we put together this campaign called How Much Longer? And it's basically a bunch of media pieces that are targeted to different agencies and individuals that have been failing our children for way too long. So we're looking at the CDC and the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. We're looking at the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Department of Education, the FDA, Tom Insel, who is the head of the Interagency Autism Coordinating Committee at the National Institutes of Health, has been doing a horrible job of guiding research dollars where we need them to go. So we have a message for him, too. And on 090909, we have an online advocacy system where parents or friends, whoever wants to get involved and help the autism community, can go, click a few times, and send these very edgy messages asking these people, how much longer are we going to have to wait?
Wendy, what do you think is the biggest problem? Is it just a bureaucratic mess and so nothing gets done? Or is there, you know, some conspiracy at work where they don't really want a lot of research done?
I think people have their heads in the sand, and that's for a reason. You know, we still have yet to get the CDC to come out and say this is an epidemic. We have the World Health Organization and our own CDC screaming the word pandemic because a few thousand people got the swine flu, and we now have new numbers that 1 in 100 kids has autism. 1 in 100. I mean, isn't that a pandemic? Isn't that a health crisis? I don't understand why our kids are being completely overlooked. These new numbers say 1 in 100 kids are being diagnosed. They also say that 1 in 58 boys are being diagnosed. So if you're about to have a little boy, you have a 1 in 58 chance of your child developing autism. That is frightening.
Yeah.
And we have over 20% of our kids in this country that need special education services. What the hell is wrong with our children? Why are they all sick?
We're doing
something very wrong.
What are your thoughts about President Obama? Are you disappointed? Are you because when he was running for office and when I interviewed him, I talked about autism with him on the record and off. Mm-hmm. And I asked him on the record point blank, are you the guy that we're looking for who's going to go to Washington and really turn this ship around when it comes to autism and help these children and do something about what's happening in our country with these children? And he said, I am the guy. What are your thoughts about
it? I don't know if he's the guy, Coy. I'm beginning to wonder if he's the guy. I mean, he had promised an autism czar for us, for the autism community. We really need a leader who can take control of every aspect of what we need for the autism community. And that includes, research and services, especially services for adults. We have nothing out there for adults. So we need somebody who can oversee that big, huge umbrella that is everything autism. And, President Obama has not even begun to address this. And as far as I know, even with the autism-specific legislation that's pending in Washington right now, nothing is moving because of the health care reform bill. So it's like everything's at a standstill.
It's just holding up all the good things that could be happening. Yeah.
Right.
Assuming they want to do those good things.
Well, I don't know if Obama's that guy. I guess we're going to find out. We'll find out if he's going to keep that promise that he made to you, Coy.
090909. You can learn more online at nationalautism.org. And please, if you can hear my voice now, whether it's in a podcast or a broadcast, please get involved and help these children. Nationalautism.org. Wendy Fournier is president of the National Autism Association. And congratulations again to you and Allie and your family about the exciting news, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much, Coy. You take care.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.